This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Patsy with a Z. Welcome to Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing, and for everyone who wants to know the story behind the book, coming to you from glorious Clearwater, Florida, the perfect place for writers to write and readers to enjoy a good book. And I am so happy to welcome to Joy on Paper, J.C. Cervantes. It is always so exciting when I have a new Rick Riordan book, and this one is... Well, again, it's a very beautiful book. It's called The Lords of Night, A Shadow. Now, I'm not sure how they're pronouncing it. Buja novel. Hi, JC. Are you pronouncing it with...
Yeah, thanks for having me. Bruja.
Bruja. I knew it was Bruja, but, you know, they... I get people who then they'll pronounce it with the J, and I get so nervous. I thought, ugh. Okay, Bruja. It's beautiful. The Shadow Bruja novel. And Cervantes, did I pronounce that right? Is that the way? I mean, that's the way I pronounce.
You got that right.
Well, yeah. Of course, that is the name of my favorite, one of my top three writers that I read all the time. And so it was so exciting always to see your books. I'm always reminded of you know, Sancho Panza, and I'm so happy that you're on Joy on Paper today, because I tell you, the first chapter of this new book is a winner. When I picked it up and I said, oh, this sounds good, The Lord of Night, and then I started reading this first page, I thought it was, you just pulled it off. You know, sometimes people will say, well, you need to get the first page right. Well, you got the whole first chapter just perfect.
Oh, thank you.
It is fantastic. Tell us about this character, because I think it's so interesting that we're now talking about the Maya and Inca cultures. And well, you're so good at writing in general. You have this wonderful way with words. You're very poetic. They flow so beautifully. And then you are able to write with tension. So this first chapter, I mean, it's a tense run. I mean, we're on the run here. And it was lots of fun.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. You know, so this book is actually a spinoff of the Storm Runner series, which is based on Maya mythology. And this particular character, Renata Santiago, she popped onto the page in The Fire Keeper, the second book in the Storm Runner trilogy. And I wanted to know more about her, and I was just captivated by her. She felt very mysterious. She was a very calm teenager who really practiced, you know, meditation and all of these kind of Zen practices. And she was also a shadow bruja. So she was a shadow witch. And I wanted to know more about her magic and her powers. So she continued on through the series, through the Shadowcrosser. And when I finished the Shadowcrosser, I knew that she had a story to tell. And I really wanted to tell that story. And so that's how this book was born.
Well, it certainly, it hits all the right notes. You know, I love the fact that there's this contemplative side of her, the thoughtful side of her, sort of a calming side, and yet we get some really great action in this book.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, I think that young readers really, they anticipate and expect action. And then when you are telling a story of mythical proportions, that this book is, you know, very steeped in Aztec and Mayan mythology, that kids expect that. And, you know, they were used to it in the Storm Runner series, so I carried it through this one as well.
Well, I love the Storm Runner series. And, of course, Rick Riordan just has hit it out of the ballpark. Everyone he selects to do these wonderful stories about different cultures, which I think are so important. They really open up kids' minds to these different cultures around the world. And when he selected you, wow, it was a great choice.
Oh, thank you.
So You know, I love Ren. I think she's so wonderful. As I said, when we start off here, and there's so many things that I got a kick out of, and I thought, well, this must have been so much fun for you. As you said, she was in the other book in the previous series. You don't have to have read that series, although it's nice if you have. But it must have been so much fun for you to just develop her, too. Well, in a way, she develops herself. You know, she gets in your mind, and I bet you couldn't get her out of your mind.
Yeah, and that's a really great way to put it because, you know, all of my characters take on a life of their own. And early in my career, I would try to control the characters and bend them to my will. And then I realized that that was always a mistake, that I needed to give them space to breathe and to speak and to act out in the ways that were most natural to them. And so I think that's a really good way to put it, you know, that she determined who she was and I was just along for the ride.
Well, I think that's when I named this program Joy on Paper, that's what I was thinking about, how much fun it is when you're writing something and the character takes over. You can't control it. I mean, they just jump to you. Maybe you're ready to go to sleep and the character starts talking to you. And in this case with Ren, she is fascinating. Tell just a few of the other characters in the book.
So she is on a quest with new characters. Only one comes over from the Stormrunner series, and that's Marco. He is the god of, he's the son of war. So his father is the god of war, Maya, god of war. And so he's on this quest with her. And then she has the god of death, darkness, and destruction, her forever friend. And she's the only human he cares about. So, you know, he starts off as a villain in the Stormrunner series, but takes a very keen, protective stamp over Ren, and there's reasons why. And so, you know, if you read the Stormrunner series, you'll realize why. But he has a soft spot for her. And there are two new characters, a teen demon who was raised in Xibalba, the Maya underworld, and his name is Edison, and a Aztec warrior hunter who she's 11 or 12 in the book when it starts out, and she has a set of magical arrows that never miss.
Well, they are all wonderful, just wonderful characters. As I said, when they come to you, they come to you, and they become so real, and you've done a wonderful, wonderful job with it. I think this the kids will love it. It's called Lords of Night, a shadow bruja novel. I don't have much time with you today, I know, but one day I'd like you to come back, and we'll talk about developing a series and how you have managed to do such a great job, and your beautiful, beautiful writing, really fantastic. I know people can get this online, and it's you have also a website, and it's JC Cervantes. I know that you are very popular also on Instagram. I think that's your favorite social media, isn't it?
It is, yes.
Yeah, it's really great. It's very nice. So I have to let you go now, but I want to thank you again, J.C. Cervantes, for being on Joy on Paper today. It's a Rick Riordan, and when we say that, we know when Rick Riordan presents something, he does it right. And I think you're a fantastic writer. Really, it's a thrilling book. I want to just say bye now, and I know you're going to have a great pub day. I think this is going to be another bestseller because the kids are going to love it, and adults will also find, you know, pick it up, adults, and that way you can talk to your kids about it. Okay?
Thanks so much.
Okay. Bye-bye now. Okay. Well, that is so nice. I was happy that I was able to get her on for a few minutes today because she is she's busy. It's pub day, and when it's pub day with Rick Riordan, boy, oh boy, you get a lot of things that you have to do. But she's a wonderful author, and her writing is fantastic. And she was on last year, and I'm so happy that she was on again this year. But now I get to turn to somebody who is almost ready to talk. Not yet. Is he on? No. Okay, I'm waiting for my next guest. And meanwhile, you know, it's so funny. I've been thinking a lot about books and about reading challenges, trying to think if I should do a reading challenge, something to get people just to get people reading more, because I have discovered it's just so sad, really, the terrible fact that only 50% of Americans can read above an eighth grade level. This is like just almost too much for me to contemplate. It sort of gives me, I don't know what people are doing if they're not reading. I read about 300 books a year, I would say. When I was thinking about Cervantes and I think of Don Quixote, I can't believe that people aren't reading this fantastic and funny and wonderful and beautifully written book. So I think I'm going to do a little challenge and ask people to I'm going to come out with some kind of challenge. I think I'll announce it next week, and I think I will put a cash prize for people. We'll get together over the internet, and we will do a big, big read of Don Quixote. And the winners of whatever the contest that I lay out will be guests on Joy on Paper, and they will also get a cash prize. I'm going to do two winners for the reading Don Quixote, and that's going to be fun. But right now, I have Rick Bava on. Hi, Rick.
Hello, Patsy. I was really looking forward to visiting with you and your audience this morning.
Well, I've been wanting to have you on. I was so happy that I had this time because it's a busy season, you know, for me. I've got so many authors who are promoting their books, both for... We have Halloween coming up, so I've got a lot of authors with books that are a little spooky and a lot of fun.
Right.
And then I head into the Christmas season. So I wanted to get you on because you've done something absolutely wonderful. Baby Boomer Organization. Explain to me what they have done for my listeners.
Yes, three things, Patsy. First, babyboomer.org is a website that we created for the baby boomer generation. I'm a co-founder, and it's really taken off as a website for baby boomers, and it's really become quite robust. And one of the sections on the on babyboomer.org is a book section, and it's a large book section. It's quite the bookshelf. And I should tell the listeners that many of your wonderful authors are included. We have right now over 350 authors and titles up, and it's growing exponentially every day. And probably my favorite part of the book section, right at the centerpiece of it, is your show. We are lucky enough and fortunate enough to have a wonderful association with you, so your audience can go on to our bookshelf at babyboomer.org. They can see all the wonderful titles and all the wonderful authors, and also listen to some of your past shows.
Well, I think it's just a wonderful project that you've, first of all, that you created this whole baby boomer sort of community of people who are getting together both physically and over the internet, learning so much. You have done so much and helped people really discover resources and discover areas where they can get help, areas where they can find people who are simpatico. It's just a wonderful organization.
Yes, I think you aptly put it, Patsy. That's really our mission statement, the way you have suggested it. Babyboomer.org is about community. It's about education. It's about valuable information for the baby boomer for the baby boomer generation. It has just a wonderful flavor to it because we want to be able to provide a site where baby boomers can go and get information, share information, and find great resources.
Exactly. And, you know, one of the wonderful thing, of course, baby boomers, and especially the ones who will come to your website, are people who are readers. They are readers. And baby boomers...
They really are.
Baby boomers buy books. And that's a sort of the four B's that I want my guests to think about, that baby boomers buy books. And it is wonderful wonderful to be associated with you. And I'm so honored, really, that you've done this, because I'm always looking for new ways to reach readers so that they will buy the books of the authors that I love, because I only have authors on my program. It's, you know, it's nice. Many, you know, review shows, they have to take the authors that they're given. But I have the choice to take only the authors I really like.
Right.
And so if I say, you know, I hope that people are learning to trust my judgment, that it is a good idea if I recommended a book, get the book. You'll find something in it. You know, not everybody's going to read everything, but I have such an eclectic, well, my own reading is so eclectic. I read everything. You know, I love nonfiction, I love fiction, I love sci-fi, I love romance, cozy. I go the gamut. And also a lot of self-help, because I believe that this is an opportunity for me to reach people who, and now particularly after the pandemic, who are looking for some help here.
Yeah.
And that's, I know that's what you do with your organization. It's been a rough time for baby boomers. So many have been alone these past few years. But tell us about some of the outreach that you do.
Well, you know what, Patsy, I want to pick up first on what you were saying about, I really like to endorse your comment about baby boomers are readers, and that was one of the motivations for creating a book section, because we wanted a place for our audience, the baby boomer generation, to go and be able to peruse books. And second of all, I really value your show. You know, you're all about authors and writers and people who love the written word. And we thought if you were the centerpiece of that section, because of the way you are so supportive of the reading public, that that would be great because of the way you go about it with your show. And I think the third thing is that... I really support a lot of the authors. I know many of the authors that that you've had on the on the show, and I think they're just you know, so talented. And we really wanted to be able to provide a showcase, a forum for those great authors.
Well, you certainly have, and it's just wonderful, because I just spoke to a young adult author. And so I have this, I love to do this, because one, when and I also talk to, you know, people who write children's books, picture books, a good friend of yours and ours.
Oh, our friend Gramps Jeffrey, of
yes,
course.
I mean, this
job with his book, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And this is a kind of book that I like to promote, because, again, baby boomers buy books. And that not just for themselves, but as gifts for their families, and particularly for their grandchildren. And so that's one of the reasons that I love to have children's authors on, because I love to help, grandparents say, well, what book should I get? And the books that I always review, and like Gramps was on the program, those are books that you're sure that the grandkids are going to love.
Oh, sure. But, you know, we have so many great authors that you and I are associated with, especially ones that you've brought to the public. Just to give your audience an example of a couple of authors that are up on our distinguished bookshelf. Of course, authors like Carol Perry and Rita Moreau are up on the site. And soon we hope to welcome Jim Lamb, who brought a great book of poetry to the to the table. But like you, Patsy, we run the gamut of all the different authors and titles. We have authors who've written biographies about Arnold Palmer. We have authors who have written great biographies. We have authors who really have great stories to tell about the baby boomer generation, or people who are finance experts. So we agree with you that there are many different titles for your audience to go on babyboomer.org and look through things that will be of interest to them.
And I want to mention one particular one, Tim McGee, who wrote Worthy McGuire.
Of course. I missed that. Exactly. Please do talk about that.
Because, in November, we're going to be, again, honoring our veterans. And I want to make sure that people get that book, because Tim McGuire wrote a wonderful book. My father was in D-Day. And a few days, yes. I think 3 days after D-Day, he led a patrol, and he said he saved a lot of people, and he was awarded a Silver Star. So D-Day is very always in my heart. I always think of my dad.
Oh.
And so I always want to remind people, Tim McGuire wrote a book about somebody who was on the shores there and made a promise to himself, and years later goes back, and it's both heartwarming and funny. And it's the kind of book hope that someone on television will pick it up. It would make a perfect Hallmark movie because it is so filled with love, but also lots of humor and sometimes. You know, the family didn't want him to go back. I mean, you know, when you have a father who says, "Well, where are you going?" He says, "I'm going to Normandy."
That's right.
But Tim wrote a wonderful story about this family who said, "Finally, you know, they let's go for it." And so it's a wonderful book, and I want to particularly mention that one because Tim McGee is. He's also a snowbird. Right now he's in Maine, and he'll be coming down here to our area in Florida. And
That's absolutely great. I must tell the audience that a lot of the shows that are up on our website, babyboomer.org, the shows that you've brought to us, which are so great. One that gets so much commentary, I get a lot of cards and letters about, is the show you did with Jamie Lee Curtis.
Oh, that was so much fun. Oh, I had so much fun talking to her. Wow.
Yeah. Well, you're a great interviewer, and that's one of the things that our audience has told us as well. And quite frankly, Patsy, a lot of the people have listened to your shows, and then it was motivation for them to go look at all the books. So you're doing such a great service to the reading public. You're just someone we really are big fans of.
Well, I want to thank you, Rick Bava, for all you do for baby boomers. Again, the website. Mention the website, and then do you have time? You can talk a little bit about Senior Voice of America?
Oh, sure. The website is babyboomer.org. That's all the audience has to remember. Type in www.babyboomer.org, or just remember babyboomer.org, and they'll go right to the website. It's really quite robust. It really is something special, and I think the audience will really, really find valuable information on it. And so I'm glad to have an opportunity to come and talk to you about it on the show.
And then, of course, you're also involved in Seniors Voice of America, right?
Today's Senior Magazine.
Senior Magazine.
Yes, Today's Senior Magazine is something I've been involved with many years. As a matter of fact, you could say that babyboomer.org is a an extension of my portfolio. I, as you know, Patsy, better than anybody, you know, I was fortunate to write a very well-respected book called In Search of the Baby Boomer Generation. And, of course, for the past 12 years, I've been leading the charge with Today's Senior Magazine, which is the leading publication for baby boomers and seniors. And, you know, I should mention that we always appreciate when you bring authors to the magazine. So I do want to point that out very, very important. And then, of course, the extension then goes to babyboomer.org. So as you said at the beginning of our session, it's really have created a forum as a thought leader for the baby boomer generation. Well, I'm very, very proud of the work.
Well, Rick, I am so very happy that you were able to come on Joy on Paper today, and I will have you back again, and of course I will keep promoting babyboomer.org because you guys do a wonderful job over there. Thank you so much for being on Joy on Paper today.
Okay, Patsy, it's a pleasure to talk to you as always.
Okay.
Bye now.
Bye. Okay. Oh, that's Rick Bava. He was so great. And we're going to go to commercial, then I'll be right back with my next guest. Okay.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Are you ready to eliminate your home energy bill? Well, get ready to harness the sun. Go EHS, Effective Solar Solutions, by Efficient Home Services. With no upfront costs, you can save money on your utility bill and even eliminate your electric bill altogether with EHS Solar. Call EHS, the number one solar installer nationwide. We know how to customize your home. EHS handles every project in-house with no subcontractors. Remember, no upfront costs, tax breaks, and the best company in the business, Efficient Home Services. Schedule an appointment today at 727-353-3757. Visit our website and download your free buyer's guide to going solar at www.goehs.com. Go solar, go savings, go EHS. Call 727-353-3757 today to talk to our experts.
Are you an author, an artist, an inventor? Then you need to protect your valuable intellectual property. You need Larson & Larson. We have the experience and knowledge to help you with all of your legal needs, from processing trademark, copyright, or patent applications, to negotiating licensing agreements and handling litigation. The attorneys at Larson & Larson in Largo, Florida can help protect you. Call us today for a no-cost consultation at 727-546-0660 or visit our website at LarsonPatentLaw.com.
Do you dread being called on to speak at meetings or family functions? Have you envied those who can sway an audience with well-chosen words? Do you know that people who speak well earn more money, earn more recording careers? Gain the confidence to master any speaking situation. Toastmasters will allow you to find your voice. Go to Toastmasters.org to locate the club nearest you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hi, this is Patsy with a Z. And I am back, and I am waiting for my next guest, Ileana Gilad. So I hope she will be on soon, because her book is fascinating, and I was so impressed with it that I wanted to talk to her. She's got a great idea for, well, I guess we could say, How to Emerge Triumphant, and that's the name of her book, and it's a healing book. It's a book about Well, that covers a lot of things, so I don't know why she isn't. I know she's in California, so, you know, this happens once in a while. I am hoping that she is going to call in soon. But meanwhile, I want to go back to that idea that I had with Don Quixote. You know, it just came to me as I was talking to this young author, children's book author, who has the same name, Cervantes, and it occurred to me that so many people think, well, they've heard of Pancho, you know, they know a little bit of Don Quixote. They know Sancho Panza. They know a little bit about the windmills. They know, but they don't know the full story. So few people have, well, nowadays, read the story, but it's been a popular book for hundreds of years because it is a fascinating book. And it is a funny book. It is one of those books that you actually, you do laugh out loud. And so it's part of an idea that I've been thinking about doing a reading challenge, a combination reading challenge where the readers will both be in contact with me and perhaps be in contact with other people who are involved in the challenge. Because reading, you know, for me, of course, reading 300 books a year, most of the books I read alone. But I do have selected books that I read along with other people. I share the books and the ideas that I get from the books. I'm reading probably all the time. I have three books going, maybe four books going. I have the books for the week, and then I have my favorites, and then I have new books that I want to check out. I haven't invited the authors on yet, but then I have my old favorites that I keep reading over and over. And when I was telling somebody, not too long ago actually, during the pandemic, I was saying that, you know, I reread Proust, and people will say, well, that's 900 pages. But when you think about it, if you read it over time, you're not going to read it all in one sitting. But it's in a way, it's a lifelong project. You can read Proust over and over and over for years. And the same with Don Quixote. You can read that book a dozen times in your life. And at different times in your life, and you'll get different things out of it. But if you were going to really, if you were going to land up on a desert island and you could only bring a few books, of course, most people would select the Bible, which is a great choice because it gives you so much to think about. Just it sort of blows your mind what you can think about with that book. And then, of course, the complete works of Shakespeare. If you're going to get on a desert island, you want that. Well, and in a way, we were sort of on a desert island, although we had Amazon, so we could order books in during the pandemic, which was a joy. But then the next book I would take would be Don Quixote, because if you're on a desert island by yourself, you need a good laugh, because he's not, you know, if you don't have something to laugh about, I don't know. So, again, I think what I'll do is I'm going to have a challenge. I'll set up a page on my website, and I'm going to offer a challenge that over the next, I think like 8 months, 9 months, we should be able, with a whole group of people, to get through Don Quixote and really get a look at not just the great writing, because it is great writing, and the thoughts behind it, but also to get that community of writers together. Because when you have a book like Don Quixote, you want to talk to somebody about it. You want to share sort of the humor, share the stories, and just get deeper into it. So I think I'll do that. I'm going to offer some kind of a prize, in addition to coming in or coming on the program to talk about what you discovered from reading Don Quixote in 9 months. Well, let's do it 9 months, as long as it takes to have a baby. You can start. I would suggest the best translation for me is the Grossman translation. Why don't you just get it and just start? And start journaling. The nice thing, if you get the Grossman, you will you know, it's so much fun to write when you're reading a great book and you want to remember it, to actually journal along with it. Just have a small notebook and jot down, you know, not every day, but every day, set aside a time. There's no reason that you can't take, read 10 pages in the morning, 10 pages at night. Everybody can read 10 pages. Well, not everybody. Apparently, 50% of Americans can't read 10 pages. They can't read high. How can you go through high school and not be able to read at a high school level? I don't understand it. I would not graduate anybody. Well, I wouldn't. This is a problem. I've more and more I've been thinking about how terrible it is that people do not just, you know, put the foot down and say to schools, sorry, if they can't come out reading, why? What's the purpose? I mean, what is it? It's not a, you know, it's not a dog kennel. At least in a dog kennel, you know, I actually knew somebody who worked in a dog kennel, and she would teach the when she would get particularly a terrier, she would teach the terrier how to, you know, jump and roll over. So it just in her sort of spare time she had fun. So the dog came out knowing something out of a dog kennel. And what in the world is going on with our schools that the kids can't read at a high school level? It's just boggles the mind. So this is something I think that, but for probably for all of the listeners of Joy on Paper and all of the baby boomers out there who are now reading and listening to Joy on Paper, please just set yourself some time. I'm going to do this book. I decided just on the spur of the moment that Don Quixote is the way to go because that would be my third book. As I said, the Bible, the complete works of William Shakespeare, and then Don Quixote, because it's endlessly amusing. You just go on and on, and it's just so much fun to read. So, yeah, let's do that. I'm going to put it on my website. I'll work on a page over the weekend, and I'll announce it. I have to figure out how much I'm going to give as a prize money, but I'll give something as a prize money to the winners. I'll have two winners because I'm hoping that people will sort of buddy up, get together, and just, what the heck? It's just so much fun if you can read together, learn together, and have somebody to talk to, because this is one of the problems. You know, we are facing this sort of whatever what's his name is doing with the metaverse and stuff, and he wants people to be more disconnected. We need people to be more connected, and we want real people to be connected with real people. And I'm hoping that maybe this will be a way. I've been over the, you know, it's going to be in March. It'll be the 8th anniversary of Joy on Paper. And I know a lot of my listeners did start writing during the pandemic, because I'm still getting a lot of email from people saying, okay, I started writing. Now what do I, I love the ones who say, I finished my book during the pandemic and, you know, it's ready to go. Then I have to sort of calm them down and sort of burst their bubble and explain that, no, there's a lot to be done that you have to do still. But, you know, that's part of the fun. That is the joy on paper. So I'm going to take just a little break. I'm going to try to call this lady. I will. But I think we're going to go ahead. I'm just going to give Big Ed a warning. Whenever I need something to play, I do love to go to Boxcar. So if he can look up Boxcar, I will look up Boxcar. See, he's got it ready. He knows me. Thanks, Ed.
Been stowed away on this boxcar for quite some time. We plan to ride it. Company's gone. I could choose to step off and make my way back home, or I could sun, and I've been traveling along for the ride.
Okay, good. Well, that always makes me feel good. I love that song. I love that song. Okay, I'm going to play in a few minutes a book buzz from Rita Moreau for Carol J. Perry. I want to remind everyone that Carol J. Perry Day is October 25th, and she's going to be here in the studio, and I'm so excited always to have her. Every time she's come, it's been windy and rainy and stormy, except the last time, for some reason, I don't know, she must have done a spell, because, of course, Carol J. Perry is the author of the Witch City Mysteries, and it was so exciting that in April she came out with book number 12, and she's working on book number 13, and she's also working on the second book. It is so exciting to meet an author who is so dedicated to the craft, because, you know, writing is a craft. You have to know so much, really. You have to really look at yourself and be able to analyze your writing and say, okay, this is good, but I can make it better. And I always think of Carol J. Perry as I call her the Red Bull. In my mind, I call her the Red Bull author, because she puts in those little details where she will add it might be one word to describe what Orion's Bowl is, to describe a situation, to describe a place, a location. Of course, she has a wonderful background in that. She has this fantastic background in working in the furniture business, you know, antique business, where she did all these articles and wrote up all sorts of stories about antiques. So she's got that at her fingertips, which is what I'm always telling people. You know, whatever your job is, you never know someday when you're going to start writing. Carol's case, she was writing ad copy for antique magazines and stores and all of that sort of. When she actually sat down and started writing a series of books, she has all that information at her fingertips. So that's why I always tell people, you know, don't worry. You want to write, and that's why I always say for people who are dreaming of writing, make sure that when you are working in whatever job you're doing now, whatever the work is, Don't be mad about it. Don't be sad about it. Don't say, "Oh well, I don't want to be a copywriter. I don't want to work in this insurance office. I don't want to." Just use that opportunity to learn and to do the best job you can. But then also always perhaps do some just some writing, a little bit of a journal. Keep some information. One of the nice things is I love when an author writes about a period, particularly, and they have the details of that period, or they can say, you know, how much something cost, or the name of a restaurant, even. I love that. And so that's one of the things that Carol J. Perry's work is always full of depth. And so I think we have a book buzz from Rita Moreau for her. So let's play that one, and then I'll be right back.
Carol J. Perry's Till Death. The books in Carol J. Perry's Witch City Mysteries are so vivid that you feel as if you are right there in Salem, Massachusetts. It might come from the fact that Carol was born there on Halloween Eve. You are invited to a wedding in Till Death, book 12 in this bewitching series. The staff at WICH-TV is looking forward to the wedding of their program director, Lee Barrett, to Detective Sergeant Pete Mondello, who have been a hot item for a long time. Lee is busy tying up loose ends before the big day. It'll be an adjustment moving out of her apartment in Aunt Ibby's house, but the couple are moving a few doors down to stay nearby. After all, they have to share custody of Orion, their clairvoyant cat. After the celebration, complete with a cake made by the TV station magician, Lee and Pete are looking forward to their getting to their honeymoon destination, Pirate Island in Maine. The newlyweds don't realize that soon they will be opening a mystery that hits very close to home for Lee Barrett, the death of Lee's parents 30 years earlier. There's lots of intrigue and suspense as Lee and Pete's honeymoon ends up being more eventful than they anticipated. And Lee has to put their wedding gifts aside and turns to her psychic gifts instead. If the Mondellos want to enjoy their honeymoon, they will have to wrap up crimes both past and present. Meanwhile, Aunt Ibby, a feisty former librarian who is a computer whiz, is planning to rent out Lee's old apartment. But she's getting some bad vibes from her prospective tenant. As always, Carol J. Perry's writing is rich and multi-layered. She has a talent for introducing intriguing new characters, and in this book, readers get to meet Lee's extended family, even if they are quite odd and possibly murderers. A great read with some psychic witchery vibes, and of course, Orion, the cat with a cool personality. Be a guest at the wedding. Pre-order Carol J. Perry's Till Death. Do it now. It will be released this spring on April 26th, and be ready for a thrilling and poignant adventure in this latest Witch City Mystery series. Another great book from Kensington Publishing.
Okay, well, we ran that one. It was, of course, we ran it for a pre-order, but it's out now. Of course, that was in April, so you can get that. But for a pre-order, you can pre-order her mystery from her second series, which is called Haunted Haven series. And the new book is High Spirits, and that is coming out on October 25th when Carol will be here in the studio with me. And High Spirits is a Christmas-based story, again, a wonderful mystery. And Haunted Haven is set right here in our area, here in St. Petersburg. And it is wonderful because she brings in all sorts of the historical characters who visited St. Pete and Clearwater in the olden days, and so some of them are ghosts. And you know, if I was a ghost and I had visited St. Petersburg, Clearwater area, this is where I would come. I wouldn't want to go to some of those other places around the country. So I think it's just a very appropriate. And this way, Carol has this divided personality. It's very cute. She wears a purple witch's hat for when she does promotion for the you know, Witch City Mysteries, and I love that. I think she really knocks it out of the park, sort of like Rita Moreau does when she dresses as a nun to promote her Mary Catherine Mahoney series. I love that. I think it's a wonderful marketing tool. It makes an author memorable. So if you know, sometimes authors don't think about what can I, you know, well, now, of course, during the pandemic, nobody did anything. But now that people are going back and doing shows and doing tours and getting out there meeting readers, it's wonderful if you have, well, a gimmick. But it's very useful. So I know in Carol's situation with Witch City Mystery, she wears this beautiful, beautiful purple witch hat, and you never forget her if you meet her. And now, of course, I'm sure she has a lovely sunbonnet to wear here in this wonderful our area here, which is so beautiful. And of course, right now it's sunny and beautiful. And again, I want to just you know, we always talk about Red Cross here every week, and I want to make sure that people, you know, for everybody who suffered down in southern Florida, the hurricane missed us. We were actually in the direct path, and we all prepared here. We had a week of preparation for hurricane, you know, but it missed us. It went south, and those people are suffering. So please donate to the Red Cross. They need your help, and of course, there are so many organizations, and the state of Florida has volunteer set up so that if you want to volunteer and help in any way, they will be happy to help you, you know, find the right group for you. So please, it is really tragic what happened down there. We lost a big writing community, a big reading community, because most tours of authors, tours coming out of New York, they would come to right here down to either Sanibel Island, very popular location for authors to talk about their newly released books, and then Fort Myers and Miami. And generally, these tours, they actually bypass Tampa, the Tampa Clearwater area. And I've always wanted them to come to our area, but it's been sort of traditional, particularly Fort Myers, because they have an enormous reading community and wonderful venues for authors. So it's a tragedy all around for everybody. And again, if you can, if whatever you can do, volunteer or send some money to Red Cross, because they could really use your help. Okay, well, I want to thank Big Ed. You see how he just, right there, he had Boxcar ready. He knew. He knows me. Well, we've been at this for 7.5 years, Ed. It's a long time, huh? Yeah, it is. Okay, everybody. Remember what I always tell you. One of the joys of life is to see your words on paper or to hear them spoken in an audible book, or if you're very, very lucky, oh, to hear those magic words, lights, camera, action, and your book will be turned into a major motion picture streaming video like Jack Reacher, and it's going to be Jack Reacher Day, October 27th. So again, thank everybody. Thank you, Big Ed, and he saluted me, and I saluted him. Everybody, I lost my guest, Ileana Gilad, but we'll try to get her back. I don't know. Maybe she's sleeping in California. It's a nice place to be sleeping. Okay, bye-bye.